welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and I am your host with the most, or the least, depends. Are you a fan? Let me know in the comments section. That's what YouTubers say, isn't it, Adam Carroll?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, could you possibly rhyme this entire podcast if you had to?
No, we've had this conversation on the podcast before. Well, maybe not you and I, but I've definitely... Mm. I think Christopher White, we've had this conversation, haven't we?
Yeah, I tried to rhyme.
Oh, you did?
Quite a while ago, once upon a time.
Yeah.
How did that go for you?
Fine.
Yeah? Any more than that? Just, it's not really rhyming if it's just one single word each time you're asked a question, I don't think.
But no, I'd rather not. I decline.
Okay. Oh! Oh, Gary Bailey, can you do any better?
Can I fuck?
Oh,
I'm going to be honest.
That's the title. Yeah, let's not rhyme anymore. Let's talk about some games. This is our own little bubble, and I'm also growing increasingly aware that I think I need to sneeze. And in that respect, what we should do is say that there are new games. There are new games coming out. There are some, like... what would you call it? Roads of Anger 4? We can't talk about it yet. Next week we can talk about it. Unless you've got a rhyming alternate version of that.
No, I'm not prepared.
Pleats of Plage Plaw. That's a game we can talk about next week. But there is a new game out this week I've played a tiny bit of. Chris has reviewed all of. Moving Out, Chris. What's that mean?
Moving Out. It's a wonderful little game where you go to visit a wonderful little town called Packmore, and you are tasked with helping various buildings to move out. It's essentially, it's on a similar lines of like physics-based games like Overcooked, stuff like that, where each house you go to or each building, like there's office blocks, there's farms, there's ghost houses. There's like a cool little Frogger section where you have to cross a river, but you're picking up objects. Like there's some things that are just simple as boxes, but then there's like refrigerators, water coolers, sofas, all sorts of stuff depending on the setting. You're even chasing chickens at one point, which actually had me laughing whilst playing it, just because it's funny.
You chase chickens.
You just chase the chickens around a farm. And like they run into the pens, so you run through the gate, but then there's little holes in the pens that they can get through and you can't, so then you have to go back through the gates. It's equal parts annoying, equal parts funny.
That sounds like a game of the year moment, if I'm brutally honest.
I'll be honest, mate, it's fantastic. Like, it really is. Really good game to play at the minute. It's just really smart as well. Like, the physics puzzles are... each kind of place, each location is different. You will pick up the same sort of objects, but the way in which you get them into your van differ each time. There's puzzles within puzzles. There's like little switches and switch systems that you had to activate to get certain doors to open or things to happen. There's things like there's ghosts that will run about and try and stop you from grabbing stuff. There's just a lot there, and it's just funny. It's quite well written, actually. Like it's not like awkward humor.
So the thing is, right, this is published by Team 17, who also published Overcooked and Overcooked 2. And while you were talking then, I was actually just doing some research. I thought this was by the same people, but I'm looking at SMG Studios' website right now, and it isn't.
No.
But the thing I thought when I saw this announced was, oh, the Overcooked team are making something different. And the thing I thought while playing it was, this is like Overcooked, but with removal firms. And it's got the same publisher. But this is not that studio, then.
No. No. It's a separate...
Bit weird,
No, don't bother me. I think it's just... it's just a good game.
I'm a bit surprised.
Yeah,
like it's not like it's got its own personality, but it also has. Adam, Gary, have you seen the visuals of this?
Yeah,
game?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
what it looks
I've
like.
Seen a bit of it.
Well, it looks like Overcooked, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
I'm not like I say. I'm not here to bash it because I like it too. But I am am a little surprised, because I really thought, I mean, like, you know, if you went on Mastermind and it was like, you know, you're a starter for 10, I would have, no, do you know what? I wouldn't have even phoned a friend in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire if the question was, you know, did Ghostlike Games do Moving Out, Chris? I would have just gone, yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. It's definitely there.
And you would have had a million, and you would have lost a million.
And lost it.
So, yeah. But yeah, the game.
So what you're saying is, the long and short of it is that I'm a gobshite.
You are a gobshite, yeah. But
I knew that, and then listeners knew that.
You're a lovely gobshite. But moving out.
Is that a thing?
Can you be a lovely gobshite?
bit of an oxymoron. Sure can, bit of an oxymoron. Adam. But we're,
yeah. Right. Oh, now he's calling me a moron, Adam. Fucking hell. I mean,
pants.
It's a good game. I will say the one thing I really and this is perhaps makes a bit more sense now I've understood who made it. What I thought that the Overcooked 2 devs learned from the first game was to add co-op online. And so I was a bit surprised. I'm a bit surprised that anyone... sort of surprised and kind of impressed that anyone would put out a co-op game that is only couch co-op in this day and age.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And not actually consider delaying it as well because of what's going on in the world right now. Like, I was really surprised there's no online.
I just assumed it was. Because I messaged you, didn't I, saying, do you want to play something? And then,
yeah, we should play. I would love to, but we're on lockdown.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's not going to happen. So it does kind of take that away from it if you don't have another Xbox controller or there's no one in your house capable of playing video games. But it's...
I have to think that will be added, surely. I mean, I don't know, but I just...
I don't know. But do you know what? As a single player, it works perfectly fine. Like, you don't need two people.
Yeah. No, it's same as Overcooked.
The thing is, it's only going to help you move out faster. They still give you plenty of time to get it done.
No, it's great fun.
Yeah, and there's loads of, like, shortcuts to get things out the houses faster, and it's colourful and just happy.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember in Xbox 360's heyday when Microsoft kept doing, like, the Summer of Arcade every year, and you'd get sort of 4 or 5 1,200-point bangers? Mm. It kind of reminds me of one of them, and I don't want people to go away thinking, oh, what, it doesn't really feel like a, you know, massive expansive game. Well, it's not supposed to, but it really feels like one of those, you know, like a Misplosion Man, or you know what I mean?
It is.
I say they have 1,200 points and they were absolute core.
Yeah, it's just it's a small game with a simple premise. It's not much else to do, but the things it does do is great. Like, it's just a nice game that isn't an epic. If you just want to dip into something and have some fun, then play it, because it's certainly worth it.
Have you is there anything else you've been playing that you can currently talk about? I mean, let's say
Groups
of Plague Claws next week, so
Avenues of Anger. Yeah, no, there's a couple. There's a couple.
Okay.
So first one is a preview I did of a game called The Persistence.
Which, when that email came in with that code, I was like, wait, that game sure seems like a familiar game. And then I had to search our own website and go, who reviewed it? Oh, it was VR. And
yeah,
it's
so
not.
It's coming out in the summer, but they've issued some preview codes out now to see what it's like, see how it's going. And to be honest, it's still great. The thing with VR is that because it's a survival horror stroke roguelike game, it was really tense when you're playing in VR because they did the horror perfectly for like what it is. And playing it like just normal, like a normal game, would it still hold up? Would that kind of anxiety be there? But it's still excellent. And they have touched up the visuals quite a bit. It's still not gorgeous, but it's, you know, it's no Alien Isolation, but it's still great, and it's a well put together game.
But man, what does it say about a VR game that they had to basically re-release it without VR?
Oh, I know.
On
yeah,
other platforms?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know if I don't think it ever came out on anything other than PSVR, did it? I think it was just that. So, I mean, I can imagine it looking a lot better on something like the Oculus. But the good thing about it in VR was you could play with a controller. You don't have to use the Move controllers. Because it's like, you can fully move around. Okay. A couple of things they did take from the VR, like the teleportation was really good in this version. Because obviously you use teleporting a lot in PSVR games. But it actually plays a role in the game now. So the enemies are kind of like deformed clones where you have to kind of harvest their stem cells to upgrade you. And to try and get behind them can be difficult because they're quite they're on the money, so they'll, if they hear anything, they'll turn around and run at you straight away. So you could use a teleporting to teleport right behind them, or teleport behind kind of barriers that will hide you from them, and it's a good way to get around. So that kind of is really helpful. Another thing is, in VR, there was no button to kind of open lockers or boxes, pick up things, open doors. You literally just looked at it in VR. And that's the same here. You just look at it, and it's just quite a nice little touch, because it just makes it flow a bit better. And, you know, so that it's still a good game. And I can't see how much more they're going to do to it to improve it. But it's pretty solid now. So I can imagine a lot of people liking this. But the other game, which I wanted to talk about, is Breath of the Wild. Small little game from a little company called Nintendo. And when it came out, we've spoken about it before. I played a bit of it. I couldn't spend a lot of time with it because I was doing Horizon, and like incredible game in itself. But it just meant I couldn't get stuck in. And over the years, I've tried, but other things have popped up. And we find ourselves in a bit of a situation where we've got a bit more free time. So I purchased it because it was in the eShop recently, discounted somewhat to £42. But then I had some gold points saved up and whatnot. So I managed to get it for 28 all in all. And I've put about 50 hours into it. And I've literally done, in the grand scheme of things, not very much. I've only done one of the Divine Beasts, but I've spent pretty much all that time just travelling. Just going from, I've gone round and unlocked all the towers, so I've got the full map now.
That's so
satisfying. It is. I made the point of doing that because obviously it helps you see what's available, what areas are available. And also while doing that, you get to explore the different kind of the biomes. There's like the snowy mountains and the volcanoes, and then the big open playing fields with like loads of different creatures. And like one of my things when I was playing it before was the lack of weaponry I was finding, and it was a real struggle to find anything bigger than like a fucking stick to hit enemies with. And like just by exploring, just by traveling, I found some amazing like bows and swords and shields and stuff. And I just like going around and like going through the camps and getting the treasure there. I stumbled across a village by the sea the other day, and like it was just cool. There were like loads of different animals I'd not seen before, loads of crabs. And then I swam out to one of the like the pirate ships and found some awesome little treasures. And it's just, I just like pottering. There's no reason for me to rush through it and complete it to find out what's going to happen.
It's funny though. I was thinking about this game, and I was thinking about how much I loved it and gave it a 10 and blah blah blah, game of the year, blah blah blah. But how I probably didn't explore even half of the world.
Well, that's it, man. Yeah.
And I just kept thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind,
because there's so much. Like just by unlocking all the towers, there's just tons of stuff. Not just the shrines and the villages and the stables. There's just wildlife living out and just acting like, you know, it's just very smart how everything kind of feels like it's alive. And like this, just wandering around, I've seen some weird shit happen. Like those, they're not dragons, but they're like kind of like Chinese dragons. They like fly through the air, and there's different versions of them. Like seeing them for the first time was amazing. And then I was trying to get to one of the shrines, and just I'd crafted some like elixir that helped me surviving the wind and the cold, and I'd like 20 seconds left and I was just stuck in the middle of a blizzard. It was like I could just see nothing but snow, and all of a sudden in the distance I saw like an orange light, and it was one of the towers. So like it's just full of moments, and just playing it freely and no restrictions, just enjoying it. Like I'm glad I've finally done it, and I'll continue to play it. So yeah, not a bad game. If you've never heard of it, check it out.
Hit the little indie try hard that did good. Tiny little developer.
That's about it. Other than like Animal Crossing. So
Blimplendon.
That's again. Well, yes. But no. Just chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool. Shooting some b-ball outside of the school. You know, that kind of thing.
But outside,
couple of couple boys of were up to no boys good. Were up to no good, started making trouble in Derby. I got in one little fight.
Oh.
And my mum, she got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Nottingham."
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Nottingham. Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, well, I whistled then for a cab when it came near.
A cab? What's that? You have cabs in
Derby?
Yeah,
we do. Black cabs. We have, okay.
Oh, taxi.
But they're black cabs. Yeah, well, no, yeah, it's not a taxi. It's a black cab. They're called black cabs. We have taxis.
Right, but you're right. Fine,
I'm
the black cab
with
game.
The theme of the... Just let me do it.
I don't know what you're talking about. Just keep telling the story, Chris. The cab came.
The license plate said fresh. And it had some dice in the mirror.
Oh,
and an Ambipure air freshener. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then got hit by a bus. Yeah, that was it.
Really?
And it was...
That's
the truth.
Peculiar end of the
but,
story.
You know, I was all right. Didn't have any broken bones. Couldn't get into the hospital. So I self-diagnosed. Chilled out at home, played Zelda. So that's kind of the lead up to how I play my games.
You sat on your throne as the Prince of Manchester.
Yeah, mate. Don't talk through that shit.
Now Manchester,
you, Gary.
Manchester.
What?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Gary. What have you been playing? Have you been playing any Will Smith joints on your
what
ghetto
you been
blasting,
getting jiggy with?
Dual tape deck. Yeah.
Oh,
the Wild Wild West. Oh no, that's bad. Nah, that's a bad one.
Never seen it.
Maybe I was shaking the room.
Boom.
All
right.
Ooh.
No, Chris, don't ruin it, Chris.
No,
some time yet.
The only thing I've been playing is MotoGP. Well, other things that can't talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah, mainly MotoGP, which really enjoyed. Really enjoyed. So I missed out on last year's, and then it was just like, oh, cool, I'll give this year's a try. And
who the hell reviewed last year's then?
You know, I don't think anyone did.
Oh, well, that explains
I think I was on a break or something when it came out, and we ended up missing that one. But no, it's the equivalent to the F1 games, really, but on motorbikes. You know, it's the same level of quality as well. You know, it's just really good job of the handling. You feel, you know, you feel in control even when you're struggling a little bit. And like, no matter which, because there's different handling modes for different levels of players. But however you play it, you're always going to be able to handle it. Sort of.
Right.
I mean, you've probably seen the video. Just sometimes you do make mistakes and go off the track and stuff like that because you've overcooked it, or you know, you've not hit your braking zone and stuff like that. But just all in all, I'm still playing it now. Like, I played it again this morning because I was just like, yeah, I fancy another race, why not? And honestly, that doesn't normally happen with the motorbike games because I'm more of a four-wheeled racer. You know, so the motorbike ones, I tend to be like, oh, cool, I enjoy it for the review, and then they just kind of get thrown aside never played again. But yeah, this one I know I'm going to keep playing.
That's cool.
Because I was just enjoying it that much.
Mm.
So yeah, I mean, if you like that kind of racer, I highly recommend it.
And as you say, there are games that you can't speak about yet. Maybe next week, with a bit of luck, we can. I suppose, Adam, have you been playing anything you can talk about?
I have been playing a few things that I'll quickly mention, and I have one question to ask you all then. I went back and I've been doing a lot of online gaming at the moment because of the current situation, and I haven't seen friends, so we're just jumping online and playing a few things. I went back to World War Z. It's been a long time since I played that. It's actually good. It's actually like it's come a long way, I think, in its visual department.
Yeah,
my only real gripe with that game is, so when you're setting up your party of four, like, you can choose your difficulty between 1 to 5, let's say, right? And like, I'll be honest, like, we jumped in at like level 2 and that was tough. Like, we died loads. Like, I don't understand what level 5 is supposed to be. We haven't even tried that. And like, two of the guys who are playing it are like really high up in the levels and stuff.
But like it's really fun. It's enjoyable when all those hordes are coming in. But like you get very overwhelmed quickly. But there's fun to be had in that game if you're still wondering. And it's like pretty active still at the moment. So is Friday the 13th, which I'm back on. And like that game was free with PS Plus there recently. So it is. There's a lot of people on at the moment, and they have like double the XP and all that jazz. That game is fucking brilliant. That game is just brilliant. I think it's so much fun. I had one of the most hilarious moments the other night in it, where the game started and I turned around and I went into the cabin that was right behind me. I found a battery and a map. I checked the map and saw that there was a car very close by. Got to the car. This is all happening now within, like, because every round is 20 minutes. So this is all happening within the first, like, 2 minutes of this round. Got to the car. It just so happens that there is two other people after arriving, with one who has keys and the other person has, like, gas for the car. So we have all the items. There's the four-seater car. This is amazing. Next minute, everyone else arrives at the car at the exact same time. And then Jason. And, I mean, the chaos that happened was so fucking funny. Because, like, we jumped into the car. Jason slams the bonnet. Damages the car. We all have to get out. He's putting people out of the car. We're all running around in circles. Like, I've never had that chaotic, that kind of chaotic kind of moment within Friday. It happens once in a blue moon with, like, two or three. But, like, everyone was just trying to fight Jason and stuff. And, yeah, that game is still, like, just a ton of fun. And I really hope, like, whether that lawsuit is going to, like, get sorted and stuff. Like, it'd be amazing if Gun Media can actually get back on and deliver, like, more content and stuff for it. Because people want it. And then I also have been playing Ring Fit Adventure. I got one of them off of, like, Smith's, which is, like, insane because they are like gold at the moment. So I've been on that for the last like week and a bit, and yeah, it's incredibly hard. Like like I've put it at a level that I feel is a challenge, but like I can do it. But I am sweating at the end. I think the whole thing in general is actually really well done. And I know a lot of people are pretty positive on it as well. For like, because when you get it, like, you're just, I was just there and I was like, so this is it? This ring and this fucking strap goes around my leg and that's it? Because, you know, like, you'd be wondering, how hard is this going to be? And I think it does a really good job at, like, the exercises that they put in there. The story mode it does a good job at that, keeping you kind of focused on, like if you're just like not into exercising, because like you can be exercising next week, your brain will just like go off into a different area and then you'll just get bored and you just be like, I think I've done enough, whatever. This kind of keeps it going with the story mode. It's not really an important story by any stretch, but it keeps it going. And I like the way it tracks your heartbeat and stuff like that. It's far better than the Wii Fit, let's put it that way.
Oh yeah,
like it is,
yeah.
Far better in terms of like its design and everything like that. And I've like found myself using it, like the problem is like for a lot of people maybe with space and stuff like that, but like what's so good about this is like I've gone out to my garage, just take my Switch and just put it there, and just I've all the room in the world out in the garage. And yeah, it's really good at motivating you, and it works you out like mad. Like I was sweating every time I do it. Mm-hmm. So that's been really enjoyable. If you can get your hands on one, I'd recommend it. But like as I said, I don't even think Nintendo know when they're going to have that back out in the world. But like some places seem to kind of randomly just get stock and it lasts for like 5 minutes and then it's gone. And I just wouldn't recommend anyone to pay like ridiculous money for what people are charging on eBay, because that's just, do you know what, like, in this situation right now, fuck you if you're charging 300 quid for a Ring Fit Adventure when somebody just wants to, like, stay active for their own fucking, like, mental health and stuff like that in their house. Like, you're an evil prick if you're doing that, if you're charging that much money for something like that. If you don't want it, sell it for the reasonable price and just be good. And just that's all I can say about it, because that's what I was trying to get, was just one of them. And I went on eBay and it's like, it's disgusting what people are charging for it. The other thing that I've gone back to, and it has been the 2-year anniversary of God of War. So I have started that game again. And this time round, I'm seeing it in a whole new light, because when I originally played it, I was playing it in Canada, because that's where I was when it came out. And the TV, I think I may have said this before, the TV I had wasn't, like, the best. It didn't in any way, like, fucking stint my enjoyment of that game whatsoever. I still would consider it a 10 out of 10 back then. But right now, playing it again, this game is 11 out of 10, in my opinion. Lads, what I want to ask ye, I know you've played it. Chris, I know you've played it. Gaz, have you played it?
I have, yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to ask you this, lads. Is God of War 2018 the best looking game ever? Because, let me just say here, as I said, I'm playing this on a new TV now, right? And I am currently going through Alfheim at the moment. So I'm still early days in there, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like, when you get there and you walk through and you get all these colours of the flowers and the pinks and stuff like that, and, like, even just being on the boat and the colour of the water and all that jazz.
But it depends what kind... I mean, that's a broad question. Because I would say it's one of them. Mm-hmm. I would also throw Horizon Zero Dawn into that same section. But I would also throw in Breath of the Wild and Cuphead as well, actually.
Completely agree, and I know this thing, but, like, with God of War, I don't think, like, I've ever experienced something that has, like, obviously you can look at Cuphead, for example, and there's colours just so, like, they pop out. Same with Breath of the Wild, like, the world itself is, like, the greens and stuff, they all stand out. But I don't think I've ever played a game quite like 2018 God of War to capture light and, like, the colour and all that across the board. Like, every single fucking frame is just not wasted in the visual department. It just, nothing is wasted. Like, it is blowing my mind right now again. So much so that I'm going to be ordering the Art of God of War and stuff like that. That book is out there and I need to grab it. But that game is 2 years old so far. And it is one of the greatest games ever made. I still stand by that statement that when we were kind of talking about it for Game of the Year. But there's a thing going around now again where there's a couple of people who I heard in our Discord haven't touched it or it's in the backlog. Blows my mind that, like, that's still just not played by certain people. But there was also a thing that like a lot of sites were like celebrating the anniversary of it for 2 years, and I saw a lot of comments and a lot of people were saying, like, no, it didn't grab me, dropped off midway through, it's overrated, don't like what they did. And then I saw the most outlandish fucking comment ever, where some fucking guy said, got God of War 2018, played through it, thought it was pretty overrated, then I got God of War 3 remastered, far better. So they should have stuck with that kind of fucking thing. I was just like, I don't understand what's going on here anymore with, like, people in the community of games. And I know I kind of had a bit of a rant last week on it, but it's just when you're kind of, when we're going through a situation right now, like, I'm just trying to, like, lighten the mood at the moment with, like, the stuff that we love and what we should be talking about, what makes us happy, what makes us feel better. That's what it's all about right now. And, like, when I see God of War, we're celebrating 2 years, and cool, everyone's just talking about it right now, it's great. And then I see these fucking comments of people going, no, it's shit. It's just, like, story's terrible.
That, to me, is your brain telling you that you've had enough internet for one day, because the world is made up of... Like, the thing is about opinions is that they're like having a shit. Everyone has to have them all the time, and they always smell, like, bad.
Yeah, but, you know, of course, like, I've had enough internet. We've all had enough internet. But, like, as of right now, the internet is our way of communicating with each other currently.
It is, but it doesn't mean you have to read... Hey, listen, I don't read other sites really nowadays at all. And that's not through ignorance. It's because I don't... I've had a long-standing issue with games criticism and the snarky way in which some of it comes across, and that's absolutely fine if that's your bag. It's just not for me. No, so I'm not going to read it.
Like, I kind of... But do you know what? It just blows my mind that, like, you'd see something like this, and I'm just like, oh, this is surely going to be nothing but great stuff. Like, oh, this chat now is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, but see, again, I have to say, I think that's on you, because I would never think that when I click an article. Never do I think, oh, this will just be rainbows and unicorns.
But should we not?
Because that's not what sells.
I know, but fuck it, like, we should change. Like, and I know it's easier said done, but, like, I refuse to be defeated in this department. Like,
but hey man, that's why we're still here.
Yeah, I refuse to be defeated in this department when I want to share my love for something like this. Like, when I read someone saying, oh, the story's shit, I'm just like, who are you? You can't be real. You can't be a real person. That's all that's going through my brain. Because
are you just basically going to be like the end of, was it Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back? You're just going to go to all these commenters' houses and just beat the shit out of them?
Well, I don't want to resort to violence, but you know. Like, there's just something like, I'm not going to spoil anything with God of War, but the four of us know how it plays out, but like, I don't want to say anything, because as I found out, there's still people who haven't played it. But like, the moments of with Kratos and Atreus, like, it's like, Jesus Christ, it still just hits me so hard. Like, the story, the beats that happen between the two of them. And I just don't get it. I find it like, I haven't even made the game, but when I read these people's comments, I feel like I have, because I actually get kind of hurt by the stupid shit. And, like, I know now this is, I'm kind of on a tangent again as I was last week on it, but like, we just need to change. Like, we have to change, like, this community, like, for the better. Because, like, when a game is bad, alright, we can have our own rumblings on it. But like, are we ever gonna learn something from this current situation at all?
No, no.
Like, are we ever going to?
No. No, of course not.
Like, because it's
a few
sucks.
Months when it's all like, lifted. A few months later, it'll be fine, but then people will go back to the same old.
Yeah. Well, look.
Sorry.
I refuse, as I said, I refuse to be defeated on it. And what I'm trying to say is, God of War is still 10 out of 10. Unbelievable. Everyone should play it if you haven't. If you don't like it, don't talk to me. Like, it's just...
That's fair.
Because it just... It, you know, I don't know, man. It's like... I saw the anniversary. It made me just want to play it again, and I have, and I am currently. And fuck, some people can be just—they can be downers. I don't know why you play games if you're this way. Like, that's the whole thing. But like, as I said, that's everything I've been playing so far. I'm having a great time at the moment. I'm on a bit of a high with games, even though I'm playing nothing really new, and I don't know what next
but,
new game
But you
game
know
I'm
what,
play.
Man? That is something that I hate to say this, because I know people are really upset that, like, The Last of Us is, you know, delayed, and I bet Ghost of Tsushima gets delayed, but we maybe not.
Yeah.
But I because of this, I managed to finish Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Excellent.
And, well, I actually managed to 100% Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which I don't do often.
Yeah.
I didn't get all the gamer score, because they do this thing, and I really hate this. Please don't put achievements or trophies in your games for difficulty. I really thought we'd stop doing that.
Yeah.
Like, that was a bad thing from last year. Like, putting an achievement in Ori and the Will of the Wisps, completing it on hard. Okay, I really like the game. I might consider doing that. But then it's like, complete it in under 4 hours. Complete it without dying once.
I hate, like, those ones. Those.
That's not going to happen. And it's not a fun challenge.
No.
To,
I don't want to rush through a game. I don't find enjoyment in rushing through a game.
So, I don't mind those kind of ones if it's a short game. You know, if it's already a short game, it's like, okay.
15 hours when I finished it, so but that was 100%. So that's, you know.
But how are you feeling after? This was one of your most anticipated titles. You briefly went over last week.
I loved it. I genuinely loved it. I think it's a bit of a weird one, right? Because it's more gamey than the last one. Like, it's more Metroidvania-y. Like, there's a lot more. It just feels more of a gamey game.
Yeah.
And kind of makes the story suffer. Ooh. Like, because it was such a gamey game, I went off and did loads of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay. I was happy to go and do stuff. So then by the time the story came back around, I was like, oh yeah, I better finish the game. And normally when a story's great and it drives you through it and it pulls you through it, that doesn't happen. You know, you might go back afterwards and mop things up, but you get the story done because it's compelling. It's just a really good game, like really good game. It's such a shame it was sort of so, you know, buggy and stuff, because it otherwise is incredible.
Is there, like, because there seems to be a lot of magic from the first game. Like, is there much new to this? Are you just getting the same stuff, but like it's just
no,
it's
like
just
it's
not,
got, it's got it, like
is the experience
melee combat and stuff now, and there's loads of moves. Again, though, like by the end of the game, there were three moves I hadn't even used. I'd unlocked them and I'd never equipped them because, like, I don't want to seem down on it. I think it's a fantastic game and it's one of my favourite games this year. But it's such a shame it launched as it the way it did. And you know what? Yet again, it's probably Microsoft's maybe one of their best exclusives, and yet again, it's just out. You know. And I find that so weird. So weird. Other than that, I also... I don't know if you guys saw Super Mario Maker 2 got an update.
Yes.
With Super Mario Bros. 2 stuff in it, which is amazing. I'm not going to list all the stuff they added, but
is
like
that a
all
free
of
update,
it is good. Yeah, it's free update. And like all of it seems just great and will add so much to this game that I was still playing every week anyway. Yeah, it's just excellent. Like, really excellent update. Like, I can't believe they added Mario 2 stuff.
That's cool.
It's just mental. But yeah, that's kind of me, like, apart from, you know, the stuff we can't talk about.
Yeah.
So let's get into some listener correspondence. One we missed last week, Nick Gillum says, I can't play games with stressful combat situations late at night. Control, currently, is a game I love to play, but I can't play it at night because I find the combat stressful. Gary, this will go to you first. Are there any particular games and times of days you find it hard to play?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with him on the, like, you know, you play late on. You know, you need to kind of relax, don't you? You need to bring it down before you go to bed. So
yeah.
Playing anything sort of like action-based, horror, like racing even, because it's sort of, it's getting your blood pumping and sort of thing, innit? And it's exact opposite what you want late at night. So yeah, I mean, I'm probably the same as Nick, really.
See, I don't like to play a game like Resident Evil too close to bedtime.
Do you want to give you nightmares?
Well, partly, mate. I am easily influenced in terms of the old lucid dreams. Yeah, the case of the poops. What the fuck? I like to relax before bed. I like to chill, and like the idea of playing like a horror game is not for me. I don't like to play anything late at night, if I'm completely honest with you.
Yeah, I tend to get that way. Like later on, you just kind of chill out, stick some TV on or something.
TV, feet up, relaxed.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same, but I have a kind of a weird routine where it's like when it hits like, well, right now anyway, if it hits like midnight, I always like to watch a movie.
But fucking hell.
I was up till fucking 4:30 last night and I watched 3 Friday the 13th movies. I didn't know where I was. But I think the last game that I've ever played that made me stressed at night playing was Alien Isolation. That was fucking Jesus. Like, that had to be kind of during the day at times. But I think, like, the combat thing isn't really it's not really the thing that stresses me out within a game if I'm playing. I think it's more management. Management in games I have to be in a different mood for. Like, believe it or not, and I know I say this, Animal Crossing kind of started stressing me out because of the management for me. I was just like, gah, I'm not getting stuff done well enough here.
Just that Tom Nook always on your back.
Yeah, do you know, he's fucking weighing those 1,000 bells lowing over my head and I'm just like, go away. But yeah, that's all. Horror games in general at night time, even though I love to play them a lot, they're hard at night.
Chris, have you got any particular games you don't like playing at certain times?
I would say there's not any particular game I won't play at any certain time, but I very rarely play on anything after like 11, just because I'll play up until bedtime, but and there's not no reason for that. I just don't. So no, I'll play anything whenever.
Okay, Chris, we'll stick with you then.
Mm.
You are gifted the ability to go back and mess with the plot and ending of one blockbuster film. Which film do you choose, and what changes do you make?
Just the ending, or the whole plot?
Well, he does say the plot and ending.
Probably X-Men: The Last Stand. And I'd change everything. top of my
Get
head.
Get rid of Vinnie Jones.
Vinnie Jones, Jesus Christ,
is he
man.
In that?
Oh, yeah, he was Juggernaut.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
Oh, yeah. My God, I remember.
Oh, it was horrible.
It is. Especially when, like, Deadpool 2 did him so well. Like, and he was still funny, Juggernaut was, but he looked the part. Like, he looked spot on. So, it was just a shit film. That's it. Off the top of my head, I'd go with X-Men The Last Stand.
Okay, I would go with Star Wars.
Which one?
The Star Wars. When Vader, the helmet comes off.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, and I would make that be, I would make that be Chewbacca underneath.
Yeah, but that would just make people want to change that. Then,
no, I want you to consider all of the things that Vader has said to Luke at that point about paternal issues, and then I want that hat to come off, and it. that changes things. And then I want the camera to pull away, right? And I want Vader, or Chewie in this case, to expire. And just in the corner of the shot, I want there to be like a really large, very obvious bottle of Listerine to sort of denote how the thing is done. That's it. Gaz?
How do I follow that?
No, and I want actually saying that, and I want off script, I want them to pan round, and as they pan round, like Han Solo is there too, and he's just like obviously getting a blowy.
Who from?
Doesn't matter. Luke. What film would you change, Gaz? Leia, while Luke's there, like going, oh, fuck's sake. And then Han, he says something like, but this is your sister. And he's like, yeah, it's space, isn't it? And that's it. I think I've gone a bit strange, lads, if I'm honest with you. It's been a really long week for me.
Reel it back in, Gary.
Yeah, because I'm going to say something in a minute to get myself in trouble, aren't I?
See, I was going to go for something, like, not serious, but, you know, not fucking off the wall.
Yeah. I mean, fan fiction porn.
Yeah. Mine was Star Wars related.
Oh.
I mean,
he lifts the hat off and it's...
I like that you call it a hat.
Yeah, I'm really, really, really tired. Helmet?
Yeah,
Vader,
I mean,
helmet.
Mine would literally be
it's a hat.
Episode
a helmet's
3.
A hat, isn't it?
It just... I mean, yeah, I suppose you're right.
Go on, episode 3.
And mine would just be to make General Grievous an actual decent villain instead of being shit like they made him. That'd be it.
Right. Fair enough.
I mean, I loved him in the Clone Wars. Like, that original animated Clone Wars series that they did sort of as shorts between episode 2 and 3. And General Grievous was, like, the best thing about that. Like, it was brilliant. And then they brought him in and it was just... George Lucas was like, no, we can't have him being better than Vader. Let's make him a coffin pantomime villain. And I didn't like that. Basically.
Fair enough. Okay, Adam Carroll, have you got any Star Wars films you'd change?
No, not really. But I do have one, and I tell you what, I have always been fine for this scene. Even though there's about 70,000 endings to the movie, and I love all three.
Lord of the Rings,
Return of the King, okay? I am totally, totally grand to ever see the scene of Frodo in bed, and all the boys arriving, and he's just going... and they're all jumping on the bed together. I don't need that.
It's horrific.
It's desperate. And like Return of the King never knows when it wants to end. Like it just keeps on going. If you watch the extended one, it just never stops. You go fade and we're back. Fade.
Have you read the book?
What's that?
Have you read the book?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like. You can just be glad that they cut out the whole Shire thing. Otherwise, it would have been another hour.
I know. Like, I just think it is just that bed scene. Because, you know, like, there
yeah,
is
I get.
True that you are kind of going like Sam and Frodo's relationship in the movie is quite funny. I like it's great, but it's like Mr. Frodo, like it's just the way they're so like so buddy and looking after each other, and then that end, and it's just like this glowing white light in the room. It's the same fucking color of fucking Gandalf's beard and everything. They're just like, and they all arrive in and jump on the bed together, and it's so cringy. Like that bit yeah. always gets me.
Yeah, no, fair point. Gary, we'll ask you this one. Thomas says, I've recently gone back to the sublime Forza Horizon 4. What changes do you expect with the Motorsport / Horizon series for Series X?
Motorsport's AI, for one thing.
Yeah.
Because that definitely needs to change. Like the driver tire system was a really good idea, but it just never quite worked because, well, you know how people really drive in those games, and it's not... it's not realistic. For Horizon, I'd like them to add motorbikes. You know, when they added them to like Project Gotham in PGR4.
I don't see what else they can do.
Yeah,
just apart from changing the location, it being 4K 60, they're gonna have to. I don't think that's the splash they would want of Forza Horizon. No. But then I don't think we're gonna get Horizon 5.
Not for a while. I think we'll get like I think the next one. Whether it's launch or later, I don't know. God knows what's happening at the minute. But
I wonder if they'll just drop the name again, like they've done with Gears, and it'll just be Forza 8.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'd kind of like them to just start sticking a year number on it instead. Because when you start to get to stuff like 8, and that, it's when you're like, we've been going a bit now, we don't need the numbers, it's getting too high, just stick a year on it and you're kind of done. I would like Horizon, like this is a complete thing, but I would love to see Horizon go to Japan.
Yeah.
Like, that is a perfect setting for that series. But I don't know if it'll ever happen.
No. Well,
there's not really much else they can do, like say that
it's excellent.
Yeah, it's so good. It's just racing, yeah. You know, but I don't know. It's not really
maybe
much they
I mean, maybe they could do the cruise style thing, but well.
Oh.
You know, like add boats and, like you say, bikes and.
Yeah. I mean, I think they'd stick with just, like, the wheeled stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think they'd go anywhere else, but I think, like, if they could do, like, a whole country or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a huge task, especially for something that looks like Horizon. Because I mean, let's face it, the crew didn't look great. It wasn't a bad looking game, but it wasn't
visually.
Anywhere near the level of like Horizon. So it's like it'd be a huge task. But
yeah,
you know, it'd be a good idea, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's stick with sort of you know games. Well, because that's the podcast. But Chris, what game? It's sad. This podcast will be looked at like in years to come, and it was like this was the moment. This was the moment it all started. Someone pulled too much twine from the ball. Chris, what game from this generation most deserves a second chance? Thomas asks. He says the one I would have suggested, which is Sunset Overdrive, which is not going to happen because Sony own the developer now, but. I mean, I think it's a good question, but like Sony's exclusives, you can't really. None of them really is there, but almost every Xbox exclusive because they all kind of they don't promote their games in the UK very well.
No. Are we talking in terms of popularity or in terms of just the game? It's like making a better game.
Well, like. I think, I mean, if I'm looking at what he said here, talking about Sunset Overdrive, that was a game that was critically sort of well-received, but also poorly received. And I genuinely, I think I gave it an 8 out of 10 at the time, and I really enjoyed it, and I liked the developer. I just felt like it was yet another Xbox exclusive. They got a bit of a doing. I mean...
Yeah. Well, the first game I thought of was a Sony exclusive, which could have been a hell of a lot better, because like the ideas behind it were was smart.
Which game,
just
sorry?
Wasn't. I haven't said it yet. I'm building up.
Oh,
I'm building up.
Sorry, I thought I just stroked out there for a minute.
No. Days Gone.
Off.
Days Gone. I love that game. I would have loved that game a lot better if it did things differently. It was too long. The horde didn't work as well as it could have done. I enjoy going from town to town. I love games like Dead Island and stuff where everything's unpredictable when you go into it, like State of Decay and stuff like that, where you're trying to survive literally because you don't know where the zombies are coming from. And I just feel like it could have been done a lot better. And change the name Freakers. The fucking zombies. Come on.
I kind of don't like that when games do that, because it's like, we all know they're zombies. Just call them what they are. Like, stop trying to pretend pop culture doesn't exist outside of your game. You know,
it's not like zombies is a trademark term. No, so you can use it. It's like calling a dog something else. You know, it's
yeah.
it makes no sense.
No, you know, four leg woof over there. It's a dog. No, I really do hate that. I hate when I don't really like it. Elder Walking Dead call them walkers. They're zombies. Like, it, pop culture exists. You know what I mean? They're zombies.
I mean, I think Shaun of the Dead does it best, where it's, you know, this calls him a zombie. It's like, don't say that.
Don't
say the Z word. You know, that. But it's like, that kind of proves the point. It's like, it's just, that's what they are.
Mm. Have you got a game you think deserves a second chance, Gaz?
I really can't think of anything.
Okay. Adam, you got anything you think deserves?
I think
God of War. Poor little thing.
God of War, yeah. GTA 5. I'm going to say Shadow of War. That's just what comes into my head.
Oh!
Yeah, I think, like, yes, obviously, mate. Chris is championing that. I've gone through it, platinumed it, fucking adored it as well. Yeah, more people should just go and get that game and play it, like, and because it deserves all the time. It completely fixes what the first one did, which isn't bad either, I suppose, but it's just the second one is just, it's so good. Mm. That one.
Fair enough. Guys, have you got one, or should we go on to another question?
I mean, I could always go with Iconoclast, because I will champion that game forever.
Fair enough. Let's do one more then. Watching older films in which everyone smokes is alien to us now. Which of our current customs and habits do you think will look weird in retrospect? Well, I mean, shaking hands. No, I mean, like... You know, people shake. I was talking to someone about this the other day. You know, I was raised that, you know, when you meet someone, you shake hands. Nice to meet you. Like, I don't think people are going to do that anymore. And I almost didn't read this question because I didn't want to be, you know, too negative. Imagine, but I do think that's, you know,
like, imagine if every movie in the future, like, ends up being like shot with that in mind. No handshaking, no hugging. But there's also social distancing in a movie, so every time you watch it, everyone's just 2 meters apart, and it just looks really fucking odd. That would be, you'd be like, fuck me.
Indeed, but we're gonna get films about this, though, aren't we? Like,
there's already one out. There's already one called Corona Zombies.
Of course,
have you noticed how TV? I mean, I don't know if you guys are close enough to my age. Well, I know you are, Chris.
Nope.
No, I know you're not, Adam.
Yeah, like, I'm, you know, close-ish.
Stuff that's on daytime TV, where, like, there people are now. Like, Jamie Oliver, right? I'm going to just say it. I've given my opinion on him on Fork Off, our Patreon-exclusive food podcast. He's basically got his and his wife's iPhone, and they're filming a cooking show from home. And I guess they upload the footage, and someone, you know, like me, produces the show from that footage. And it's weird because, like, it's not lit properly, and, like, you can see it's shot on a not a 4K expensive broadcast quality camera. And like, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and, like, Sky Sports are doing a lot of them, and they're all doing them from home, and, like, none of them have got good mics. And it makes me irrationally irritable that these fucking ginormous corporations can't send them a fucking Blue Yeti mic for £80, you know, they or whatever. And like, or like a door, or like an interface for them to plug it into a PC. Like, and none of them have got half decent internet. And like, it's like, and that was the way I put it up the chicken. You know, like that kind of thing. Like, all of those things are not really an answer to this question. If I'm honest, they're just me ranting. But we're talking about like the situation. Like, the custom of everyone being in the same room at the same time. Like, I just... Oh, I don't know. Fuck it. Well, I don't know. It just makes me really angry that people like who are working for multi-billion-dollar corporations can't put out a podcast with the audio quality even as good as ours. You know, sorry. And I was listening. I mean, literally behind the curtain, I was listening to a Sky Sports podcast today, and it made me angry, Adam.
Yeah, I think in years to come,
and that's what I think we won't have. I think that will look weird in a film in the future.
I think in years to come, I always wonder, like, will the likes of iPhones and all that stuff, like smartphones and shit that are in movies now, down the line, will that, like, it's the very obvious one, will that be the thing that people go, look at the fucking state of that thing? Do you know what I mean? Like I don't know what's next to come in terms of phone, but you know, if you look back at a phone way back in the day, like, they either have in the 80s those massive cell phones with the cord, whatever, and, like, I don't know, but even down to that, like, if I see smartphones used today, even in a movie, it really fucks me off. I don't know, like, I just get really... I think it's just because we're in a society that, like, those kind of things now, we just get annoyed by anyway, like, people being on their phone is rude if you're in a company of people and shit like that. Like, phones are very controversial, like, all the time. So, like, when I see them in a movie with a load of fucking teens, I'm just like, where's the killer? Slash them all. Do it. It's just, I think those things are going to be always the different kind of weird thing, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, maybe with a bit of luck in the future, it will look weird when you see people filming car accidents and stuff with on their iPhones instead of helping, because as a society, we'll have advanced so far back to the old days, essentially, where we help people when our first thought is, oh God, someone's been in an accident, let's go and help them, and not, oh, better get my phone out and film this.
Yeah, that's one thing that really bugs me, when it's like, yep, hey, look, I went and helped this animal or something, and it's like, but I had to get my phone out and film it, because, yeah, you know...
Maybe that culture will reverse back to a simpler time. Old man, Adam, there you go.
Yeah, we basically just turned into old men, aren't we? Just complaining about current...
Trust me, if you did what I did for a living and you saw what people get up to, you'd think, wow, he doesn't rant nearly enough. Lads, stay safe. Stay safe. Please, for God's sake, because if I haven't got you to talk to, I really will go mad. This isn't even close. This isn't even close, Chris. You tell him, you know me.
No, join us next week as a full-on shutdown.
When we go live on camera and Adam shits his pants and then watches it on the camera.
And then Chris throws it at the camera.
Right at the camera. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Gary. It has been a pleasure as the, I don't know, weird people.
Jeez, you are on one today.
Ah, mate, the listeners love me for it, I hope. Otherwise, we're fucked. Thank you for listening. Reminder that we have a Patreon. Well, this is a great advert for it, but reminder we have a Patreon where we do an exclusive food podcast. You get early access. We do code giveaways. And just if you are wondering, well aware we're behind on that, it's the current situation. I'm trying to think if we can get to a post office to post stuff out to people. We'll get there. I've got it all noted down. Nothing has been forgotten. I'm like a horse in that respect, and only that respect. No, it's a rhino, isn't it? Rhinos never forget. Or is it elephants? Something elephant.
Never mind, you could be all of them.
I'm all of them, trunk and all. Thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you next week, or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.